Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. How about greeting the people sitting next to you, behind you, across the aisle from you? And when you do greet them, please pass the peace. I hate to disturb you while you're greeting everybody, but if you would return to your seats and let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation that you will find on the top inside of your bulletin. There are several things I'd like to call to your attention. First of all, I want to say that if you missed the sing-along this morning with the hymn sings, you missed a real treat. And there'll be another fifth Sunday, and we're going to do it again. So mark it on your calendar, because you don't want to miss it. It was wonderful to hear some of those old songs that we don't usually sing as often anymore. I also want to call to your attention, if you'll notice in the back of your bulletin, Main Streeters are going to be visiting the museum and getting an opportunity to see that marvelous New York Christmas village. If you haven't seen it, that's another treat you don't want to miss. It is truly amazing to see everything lighted and to see the replica of so many things in New York City and the Christmas. Zella. Okay, if we'll be free, you don't have to be a member. Just come join the Main Streeters, and then there'll be lunch at a restaurant afterwards. The Super Bowl, we know that's coming up. And there'll be a Super Bowl party on February the 5th, and everybody's invited. And I'll bet you that they'll even enjoy having you if you're not a big football fan, but you just want to come for the socialization and the fun and the excitement of watching a game with a group of your family and friends of Main Street. Also, big event on Wednesday. We're going to have a major unveiling. And I've said it before, we don't have anybody jumping out of a cake, but there will be a cake. And we do want you to come. I think you're going to be surprised. Main Street, of 150 years of age plus, is going to have a little bit of a new look, a little bit of freshening up. And you know how nice your house looks after spring cleaning? Well, we're just going to do a few little things that I think you're going to find really delightful. So don't miss it. Now, let us continue with our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? God anointed Jesus to console the afflicted. Come, let us worship Christ our Comforter. God anointed Jesus to emancipate the enslaved. Come, let us worship Christ our Deliberator. God anointed Jesus to bind up the wounded. Come, let us worship Christ our Healer. God anointed Jesus to deliver the troubled. Come, let us worship Christ our Savior.
Me please in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. O gracious and holy God, give us diligence to seek your wisdom, to perceive you, and patience to wait for you. Grant us, O God, a mind to meditate on you, eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Thanks be to God. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died
for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. These are verses 15 through 20. Hear now a reading from God's Word. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever see again this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. And now we go to the gospel lesson, and this is from according to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as of the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. These were the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Ms. Moore fell this morning coming into the early service and has been transported to the hospital, and we do not have any details of her health as of right now. I am expecting a call later on today from Marion to let me know how she is doing. It's Marion's mom. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious Lord, as we bow before you this day, bringing to you our petitions, but also affirming that you are our God, and that we humbly and graciously surrender ourselves to you. We pray, dear God, that you indeed would continue to pour your blessings out upon your people, and that you will guide us and give us a mind and a heart to follow those things of God, those things that are true and right. We pray, Holy Father, that you indeed will lead us as a church through the leaders that we have in our various committees, by those who may not be serving on committees but love their God and their church and pray for her diligently. We thank you again for those who have gone to the mission field and are on their way home. We thank you that their venture has been done safely, and we pray for others who remain, who need the protection of Almighty God. We pray that you will lead them into fertile areas where they can proclaim the gospel of Christ, and it'll fall upon receptive hearts and minds. And where there is anger and hostilities, dear God, we pray that the Spirit of Christ would bring tranquility, that it would bring peace to troubled souls. Dear God, we pray for those of our church family, and especially this day for Mrs. Moore, and others who have special needs and are listening to us by ways of radio, our shut-ins. Dear God, that you will touch them and reassure them of our love and our care for them. Again, we pray for those who are serving in faraway places, both in the military and in mission. We pray for the leadership of our great country, both in the government and in the church, that you will give us the leaders that we need to continue to lead us forward as a nation and as a church in the ways that we should go. Help us, O God, to always be willing to share the good news of Christ with those we come in contact, realizing that there are souls who do not know that God loves them and that there is peace when you surrender your life to Christ. Dear God, be with us, lead us, guide us, and we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, again, we sacrifice and give to your kingdom. And now we pray that you will sanctify these gifts. Bless them, O God, for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, where men and women and boys and girls may receive the good news of Christ from loving hands. We thank you again, dear God, for the privilege to give. Bless giver and gift, and those who have not, and those who chose not to give this day. It is to you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message. We invite the children to meet Susan Pinckney in the chancel area.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm wondering, have any of you ever played the game, the card game Uno? Has anybody played that? Yeah. Okay, well, that's a game that I especially enjoy playing with my little grandchildren sometimes. You know, it's an easy game to play, but before you play Uno or any game, you have to know the rules, don't you? You have to know what the rules are so you know how to play the game and so you can enjoy playing the game. Now, the person who makes the rules for a game is usually the person who created the game, who came up with the idea for the game. And they do that so that you will enjoy playing it. Have you ever played with anybody who doesn't want to follow the rules of a game? Makes it frustrating, doesn't it? Yes, it sure does. Well, you know, we need rules to follow in life, too. And I'm holding a rule book here. This is one of the Bibles from the pew. And the Bible is our rule book that we need to follow in life. The rules in this book, in the Bible, were made by God. And Jesus, that's right. God made the rules in this book. God created life, and he wrote the rules that we are to live by. And the reason the rules are here is to help us to live our life and enjoy our life the way God intended for us to enjoy it. One day, Jesus went into the synagogue and started teaching. The people there that heard him were amazed. He did not teach like any of their regular teachers taught, and he did not act like someone who knew about the rules. He was teaching like someone who had written the rules. And guess what? Jesus did write the rules. Jesus was God in human form. And so he's given us these rules to follow, and he has shown us how to live our life so that we can enjoy living our lives the way he intended for us to do. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, you have taught us how to live. Help us to follow the example of Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
seated. In reading this passage of Scripture today in regard to the man who was possessed with demons, my mind went back to those elements that are necessary for salvation. I did some readings of Wesley's sermons. One of them was his defense of Christianity. Did a little reading of the biography of Whitfield and his phenomenal impact here in this country and also in England. And in the process, I read where it was the Wesleyan revivals that basically stabilized Britain after the Revolutionary War. We think about what the Revolutionary War meant to our country and how that after our dependence upon Britain was severed, and that this fledgling country had to begin to discover how in the world was it going to govern itself, take care of its people, have a nation that was not just in chaos. And as I began to think about those times, I realized that trust was one element that had to exist. And someone picked up the motto, and it's now on our money, and several times it seems individuals have endeavored to eradicate it from our money, but it says, "In God we trust." Even in the Senate, in the congressional chambers, there is, "In God we trust." I think about our current mentality and I wonder if we did not have that motto already on our money, could we possibly have it installed on that money today? And I think the answer probably is no. During this past congressional session, I think of all the issues that have been brought before our congressional leaders, and it seems as though mistrust from Democrats and Republicans has frozen the ability of our government to operate. And even as I listen to the debates going on now, and it causes me to wonder, who can I trust? And I'm sure that many of you have the same feelings, and some of you have said the same. Who can we trust? Trust is one of those ingredients that is required for a society to function. It's one of those ingredients that's required for our salvation. And therefore, I can understand why Jesus would say to a person possessed with devils, "You be quiet." There are some people, some forces that you don't need affirming who you are. And certainly having Satan to proclaim who Jesus is was not one of those most sought after acclaims. Several years ago, more years now than I like to think, but several years ago I was given the opportunity to withdraw from the Social Security program because I was a minister. I had people coming to me, some of my friends, saying, "That's an opportunity and you should definitely get out of it." And the day came for me to make a decision. And I thought about what Social Security does within our society when it sends money to the orphans and to the widows. And I said, "You know, I'm not against that." And so as I began to make my decision, Now, during the years later, I think about that decision and I think about what's happening. And like you, I wonder, will this program that has meant so much to so many, that has truly helped people, will it be around when my kids get my age? I think about trust. Trust, maybe, that is so scarce within our communities. And I remember as a young boy growing up in Woodruff that if you were going to be gone for any length of time during the day, you would latch the screen. Today we have deadbolt locks, burglar alarms, just making sure that no one comes in and steals what we have while we're gone. Francis Fukuyama defines trust as the expectation that the interest of the whole will take precedence over the interests of a patriarchal part or a small group. He argues that a nation's health, both economic and spiritual, is shaped by one cultural characteristic, the level of trust inherent in that society. He said, "This is the missing ingredient in our postmodern life." A young man walked into a recruiting station and asked to, a Marine recruiting station, and he asked to re-enlist. And when he was asked why he was returning to the Marine Corps, he says, "Because there is no one in charge on the outside." When we look at our society and we watch the news, we have to admit that trust and suspicion, that suspicion is winning. When I think about Wesley and Whitfield, Whitfield preached, they said, 18,000 sermons in his lifetime, preaching every day of the year and sometimes twice a day, about 365 times. His voice was able to be heard by thousands upon thousands. So much so that Benjamin Franklin went out one day and was assessing just how far away he could hear Whitfield preaching, and came back with a statement that indeed it must have been 10,000 people that were able to hear him preach. As I read about Whitfield and Wesley and these great preachers, and what they meant in their community. Whitfield is given credit for being one of those instigators in the Great Awakening revival that stirred our country. He was a good friend of Benjamin Franklin and said that he often tried to encourage Benjamin to make a profession of faith. And even though they were good friends, it's never stated that Benjamin Franklin ever made that statement of faith. One minister wrote about the Ten Commandments of Trust, and I'll share with you some of them this morning. I certainly will not talk about all ten of them. But I think many times about the issues that face us as individuals. The guidance that we need, both in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives. I think about how do we get that direction? Where does it come from? Who do we listen to? And how often do we listen? I remember, and I may have shared with you, but years ago I was going to my first church, and it was not a United Methodist. I had received a call to that big city of Startex. And I was leaving the big city of Joanna. And we had practically everything we owned in the back of a pickup truck. And I was moving my family to a place where I didn't know people. And I said to the man who was driving the truck, "I don't know exactly where I'm going. I don't quite know exactly what I'm doing, but this one thing I do know is I am endeavoring to follow God in the best way that I know how." At that time, I had never heard of Startex United Methodist Church. Some of you may be familiar with it by being called Tuckapaw. That was the name of the village named after an old Indian tribe or chief, Tuckapaw. But there were a group of people there, and I met them, and the lady whose funeral that I preached yesterday, Miss Edna Hamry, I met their pastor, the Reverend Brock, and I had never seen a group of people that loved each other and loved their pastor and was so full of spirit and excitement as that church was. During the processional time, it was not unusual for the leaders of the church at the beginning of the worship service to be at the altar praying for their church and praying that their service would be one of excitement and inspiration. And it was not unusual as a choir sang for tears to be rolling down the face of people sitting in the congregation. And I too, in having an opportunity to worship with them, felt my heart strangely warm, and I wanted to be a United Methodist. I talked with the pastor, and I went and talked with the DS, and I didn't even know there was such a thing as a DS. And we began to talk about me making the journey. And the door was open. And again, I found myself not exactly knowing what I was doing, but knowing that in the best that I knew, I was endeavoring to follow God. Ministry was going to happen. Where was the question? And here I am today. And not one time ever in my appointment have I ever gone to a DS and said, "Now look, this is the church I want to go to. This is where I want to appoint you." Each time I've gone in and I have said, "I'm a United Methodist and I'll go wherever you send me." In talking with one of my minister friends the other day, I said, "If there's a perfect Methodist church out there, they don't need to send me." And he was rather surprised, and he said, "Why?" I said, "Because once they have me as a pastor, it won't be perfect anymore." I realize that I am an imperfect child of God. But I also know wherein I put my trust. I put my trust in God. In God to lead me and in God to lead our church. And I think that it's important as we share that we don't just look to those individuals who are critical, but we look to those individuals whose hearts, as John Wesley said, are as our hearts. We don't just need to be going to those that we know are of the same political persuasion as us or the same theological bias, but we need to sit down with those whose hearts are compassionate toward God. I was talking with an individual who had left their church the other day, and I was saying to them, "Well, what was your issue?" And as we began to talk, I said, "You know, what you're telling me is not accurate. What you believe that has happened is not what is happening." And I happened to know what this individual was talking about in the bigger church. Sometimes we have to make sure that the voice that we're hearing is a voice of truth. And we need to validate that, the Scripture tells us, by speaking to more than just one person. The Bible says by two or three witnesses. There is a book that currently some of you are reading that I've shared with you, and it's making the rounds about how to having a successful, thriving mission ministry. And in part of it, it talks about ministers that when they hear the voice of God. And my question to the DS is, how do you know when you hear the voice of God? It scares me sometimes when somebody says, "And God came to me and spoke to me." I think it's important that what we're hearing is the correct voice. In Jesus speaking to the demoniac, he said, "You be quiet. I know who you are," he said. "You are the Son of God. Have you come?" And Jesus said, "Be silent and come out of him." If there is the voice of God out there, then there is also the voice of Satan. It amazes me sometimes as people leave the church and they're going and looking for the perfect church somewhere. I used to walk, I've shared this with you before, but I used to walk my dad's church as a young boy, and I'd look and I'd say, "Man, if this one hadn't left the church, and if this one would have stayed faithful, man, what type of church we would have." And we'd just walk down the aisle, and I would think and I would look. Peter says, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Isaiah 26:3, "Those of a steadfast mind you keep in peace, and in peace because they trust in you." Psalms 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and happy are those who take refuge in him." And we sing the song Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay, and mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. Is it God's way that we want in our life? Is it God that we want to mold us and make us? Or is it our will and our way? One minister says, if we're going to learn to trust, again, we must learn to be clear about some things. He says, one, you are not in control. Two, you have never been in control. Three, you will never be in control. Four, you should never be in control. Five, you are not in control of everything. Six, you didn't make the sun come up. Seven, you didn't make the sun go down. Eight, you don't make your heart beat. Nine, you don't make your blood circulate. 10, you are not in control of anything. Trust and obey. We sing it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Can I tell you today as I stand here that it was God's ultimate will for me to make the choices that I made? No, I can't. Can I tell you that I made the best choices under God's leadership that I could make? Yes. We don't always make the most perfect decisions. But we make the best decisions with the information and insight and guidance that we have. Story was told about actress Ingrid Bergman, who once told director Alfred Hitchcock that a certain scene just didn't feel natural. And she explained why she didn't feel natural doing what the script called her to do, and Hitchcock said, fine, if you can't just do it naturally, then fake it. Sometimes we don't feel that we can trust God naturally. You don't feel you can cast yourself on the waters. You don't feel natural living by faith nor by sight. Fine. As John Wesley said about faith, preach faith until you have it, and then you'll preach faith because you have it. Hitchcock says, fake it naturally, do it. Every manager of every rock star or sports figure tells the clients, get a charity. Most of them do, they say, and they obey their manager, but what they begin at first is good public relations or image creation becomes a genuine joy and commitment. In closing, I think about the prayer that we prayed. John Wesley's prayer that he prays at the New Year Eve watch night. I share that prayer with you again. I'm no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whomever you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. And now, O Father, you are mine and I'm yours. So be it. And the covenant I'm making on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. closing hymn, number 420. Breathe on me, breath of God, and as always, this altar is open during the singing of this last hymn, number 420. Benediction is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. God the sender,
send us.
God the sent,
come with us.
God the strengthener of those who go,
come with us.